chapter 14 of Romans, in verses 9 through 13. And again, it has to do with our words. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not, your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us, therefore, not judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And oftentimes, perhaps without even realizing it, until we learn what James said, that no man can tame the tongue, we can speak words that bring judgment against someone, or accusing them of something, and without even knowing the facts, we just open up and start going like this. I've seen it destroy churches. But I don't see that happening here, because we're learning together. Together we're learning how God expects the body of Christ to function. We all have a part in that. We're all a part of each other. And so we're learning these things together. And it's hard sometimes to bring this kind of word about words. But I remember at least five of you, not too many months ago, said, we need to finish that. Because I got off on something else and come back to it. And then, of course, generally what happens is when we're all done, there's a period of time where we're doing really good and we're almost paranoid to just keep our lips sealed so that none of these things slip out of our faces, you know. But it is good, because I had, in all the times I've studied words, I never realized how many scriptures. There are more scriptures on words than there is on salvation. Can you believe that? It's really true. So God does take what we speak very seriously. And I know we have a lot of fun doing this, because we catch ourselves saying stupid stuff sometimes, not harmful, but just without thinking. And then we realize, oh, I hope that don't come to pass. So whenever we sow that seed out there, sometimes we need to pray for a crop failure, you know, to catch that sucker before it takes root. And so with this about being judgmental of one another, I think how, when the way Paul wrote this, it must have been happening, or he wouldn't have written the letter to address it. And so, to me, when I get scriptures like this, I like to share them, because it's like, it doesn't mean that we're doing it, but it's a caution not to. And so there are a lot of do's and don'ts in our faith walk. If you go bebopping down 91 and the bridge is out down in Westminster on one side, you might end up in the road underneath somewhere. And also, our speech is like that. Sometimes it can be like a runaway locomotive. And so I would just go with Paul's words about that. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. And it's so easy, because oftentimes we speak based on things we see, not necessarily things we know. So some little cautions along the way. And the other one is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I call it kind of like a companion scripture. There we are. Even had a bookmark in it, Davis Memorial Chapel. I weren't planning on having a funeral in the middle of that chapter, but it's a good bookmark. It's a good reminder. When I die, give me Jesus, and somebody will call Davis Chapel if I'm still in the area. Come on, I might ask you to do my service. You better be minding that right there. Okay, here we go. Chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. All right. And it has to do with building on someone else's foundation. First, I'm going to start off with a church setting, the body of Christ. Something that we who generally bring the word, you can call us elders, pastors, whoever among us brings the word on a continuous basis, it's really important not to know what foundation of faith a person is at, where a person is at in their faith. For instance, this morning when we opened with prayer and we prayed for Tom and Veronica. And if I don't know if someone who's maybe recently joined with us is familiar with anointing with oil or laying hands on people, I feel very strongly that it's important that I ask first. I'm not, Paul said, lay hands suddenly on no man. And I think there's a caution to us about that if we don't know. And so I tend to, we'll ask before we just jump on you like a chicken on a bug and boom, there's 10 people. You know what I'm saying? Because we can do that in our spirituality. And for most of us, that's okay. We welcome that. And I don't mind if it happens and I'm the recipient of prayer. I like that. I'm very okay with that. But to build on another person's foundation, there are things that we have a tendency to think that everybody in the room knows. But quite often, we find out that's not true. So I tend to be on Paul's side about that, being careful or being mindful of how I build on somebody else's foundation. Because we all have one. We all started someplace. And so this is an interesting way that he put this. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the first part in the believer's life, is to lay a foundation built on Christ. He's not only the foundation, but he's the chief cornerstone that holds the whole thing together. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Now, I want to stop there because in our faith walk, what we add to our foundation, is it built with gold, silver, and precious stones? To me, not only are they some of man's world, the greatest, most richest, or costliest things, I see also in the Lord building by the Spirit, and wood, hay, and stubble by the flesh. The things that are built in your life on precious stones are going to last. And when you're in a tight spot, you've got something solid down on the inside of you that you're going to be able to stand. You might not think you could, but when you're squeezed a little bit, when the enemy comes and puts pressure on you, it doesn't take long to see what we're built of inside. So these are good things that Paul's talking about. Make sure in your life that there's a good portion of the spiritual side. Because those are the things that are going to last. Because you see, the next verse, every man's work will be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Remember a week or so ago, we talked about Jesus returning and his reward would be with him? So this is kind of going along with that. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. This is also talking about the judgment seat of Christ. There are going to be rewards. There will be things that we may see, but for some reason we didn't measure up to receive them, and we could have had them, but maybe we spent a lot of time building into our lives the things of the flesh, and those are going to be burned away. So it's going to come down to what's left. And I told you that I found 5 crowns for the believer. Now, I don't know if you've come across those in Scripture, but I have, and I have the next segment of this, the 5 crowns for the believer, and those will be part of the rewards that we get at the judgment seat of Christ. And they're very precious, and they're very special, and it all has to do with our walk and how faithful we've been. Not that we did everything right, but the day is coming when we it may get a little rough along the way in the next few years. And what we've got down on the inside of us is going to make a big difference in how we handle it, how we react, how we respond, and not go into freak out mode, because that would play right into our enemy's hand. But to stand in faith and not in fear, and to make sure every day that any cares you have for the day, you cast them on the Lord. Priscilla can tell you a lot about casting, because she likes to go fishing. You know about casting. Can you give me a quick little expansion of that word, what it means to cast? Very good. Now, how would that apply to casting our cares? That's what I'm fishing for. Because I know you got it. Yes, the same thing. You have to, it's like you've got to make a really quality decision to do that. And it's going to take you recognizing that if you don't cast them on the Lord, you're going to keep carrying them until they get too big that you can't even get a wheelbarrow big enough to push. And they will weigh you down. And they will trouble you. And you won't be able to get those things off your mind, and they're going to interfere with your faith walk, because they're going to seemingly go opposed to it. But that simple thing about learning to cast those cares, it's going to make a big difference in how we weather the storms of life. We don't need to be burdened. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you labor and are, who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you turmoil, I will give you trouble, I'll give you a headache." What did he say? Rest. He'd give us what? Rest. Would you like to have it restful inside? Isn't that a nice place to be? But you see, it only comes from him. And so, with that in mind, on words, we've got to come to that same place. It's God has given us the unique ability to communicate with words. How does God speak? With words, doesn't he? Did you know there wasn't anything until God spoke? Can you imagine the vision that he had even before he spoke it? And what did he start with? Go back to Genesis chapter 1, and God said, or God spoke, light. So, let's be as his children. We need to be thinking about that. Let the words that we speak be light. Because the opposite doesn't produce life. Light produces life. And I want to tell you, I keep telling you because it's an ongoing testimony. When I bawled with that freshly newborn again priest last week, he just glowed. No more hissy fits. No more kite moments. For those of you, you know all about that. It was a real joy. And for the first time in 2 years, I really was very aware that God had made a breakthrough in his life and healed him of a stony, hardened heart. And a root of bitterness came out of him. And that's what we're after. We all know people like that. We have friends that, if they would just listen to us, it could get them out of that funk. And I like what Joyce Meyer says, out of that stinking thinking. She borrowed that phrase from a few other faith people, but those are out there for our use. We can learn from others. We don't get everything in here. You'd go home a little hungry sometimes if you got all your knowledge just from me. I can be a part of it. I can build into your foundation. But there's a vast array of really good, solid word people. And those are the things that in hard times, should they come, are going to be really important to us. And that's why, so there's a serious side about our words. There's a fun side. But words have power. And that's a real truth that we really have to be mindful about, because there's going to be a lot of cranky people around us. If you haven't run into one yet, you probably will. But it doesn't have to be us. We can be the solution. Usually at the post office, I see quite an array of Chester's population. And I said good morning to somebody. He says, what the hell's good about it? I said, well, I opened the door for you. And I did say that. And it snapped him out of that. But it tells me, you know, we were talking about the tree. What's inside the tree? There'll be good fruit if the tree is a good tree. But it takes Jesus to make the tree good. We need to be filled with him, if you will, by the Spirit. And so he didn't have anything to be happy about. He didn't have anything to say that was good when you said, good morning. And it kind of caught me off guard, because a lot of people know us in Chester. It's a pretty small town, and we continuously see a lot of people. They're not all church people. But we've lived here for so many years, we can't hide, you know, and have interactions with a lot of people that don't come here. But to suddenly, that almost, it caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that. But it happens. So let our words be light. Jesus said, we're the light of the world. Don't hide it under a basket. And we're the salt of the earth. Salt is a preservative. We preserve, if you will. We're a preservative to our neighborhoods. We're a preservative to our villages. We're a preservative to our city. We're a preservative to our country. If you think things are bad now, think how bad they'd be if there were no Christians anywhere. That would be a really bad place to be. So I'm thankful for the things we're learning. I'm thankful that we can come and be encouraged, but also challenged. I didn't see in my book, Follow Step 3, and it's going to be very easy. I didn't find that anywhere. I find every day has its challenges. And what's on the inside of us is going to come out of our mouth, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth reveals those things. So anyway, have a great week. Be blessed. And thank God for his favor this morning. Does anybody else need prayer that we didn't pray for earlier?